morning. Good morning, Lord. We just welcome you. I know you're already here, so we thank you that you welcome us. God, we ask you again to come and do what only you can do. Quicken your word, to open our spirits up, to make way that we can just receive whatever you have for us. Lord, we ask you to search us right now. Anything in us that is preventing us from being in oneness with you, that you would just surface us, show it to us right now, that we might repent, that we might agree with you in truth, so you could set us free. Lord, we're so easily deceived. I just, one minute we think we're right with you, and the next minute we fall into deception, into pride, into selfishness, to fear, to worry, to frustration, anger. We're so susceptible. Lord, if any of those spirits are blocking us right now, they're plugging our spiritual ears, we ask you to expose them, that we might reject them, kick them out, repent of our agreement, and just come back into oneness with you. So just for a minute, search us, Lord. Just take a minute and let you search us. To stand whatever could be blocking us, stand it right up before our face and identify it. Maybe it's just weariness, overwhelmed, can't focus. Lord, we just break agreement with that, and we throw down every care, every worry, every problem. We just put it in our hands and throw it in the air and let you catch it and do what you will with it. We just want to be with you right now. Just be with you. Didn't come to ask you for something, just to be with you. So we love you, Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about hugging a pillow today. Hugging a pillow. The other night in ladies' meeting, Patty was reading from the Master Potter book that she's sharing with the women. And it's an allegory, so it's written as though spirits are characters and have names. And the little lady in it is called Forsaken, and she's out there in sin, and all these things are beating her up. And somewhere in it, when she came to Jesus, she just walked up and hugged him, and he hugged her. And the Lord said in this story, I have waited since the beginning of time to hold her in my arms. What really hit me, we want to go to God when we're in need. We want to go because we need a hug. We need him to love us. We need him to give us strength. We need him to give us grace. We need him to give us wisdom. We need him. And we're supposed to need him, and we do need him. But how often do we go to give him a hug? Because he needs to be loved. He created billions of people because he wanted to be loved. He wants to love because love is giving, not taking. Love is giving, not taking. So God is an ultimate lover. He is love, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives. But he would like to be loved back. But he won't demand it. He won't nag you for it. He may not even ask you for it. But he sure likes it when he gets it. He likes it when he gets it. So when Patty was talking, she said something about how excited God is when we just want to hug him. And that gripped me, and we did our journaling time. And in our journaling time, I decided I was going to go home and make a Jesus pillow. I like tangible things to make things more real to me. I can stop through the day, and I've determined to do it, to just stop and say, Jesus, I love you. But you know what? When you can feel something in your hands, and you actually have to walk to that thing, pick it up, and do something physical, it takes a little more effort. So I said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to make me a Jesus pillow. I'm going to find a pillow, and several times a day, not just once, but every time I think about it, I'm going to go and I'm going to give Jesus a hug. So I'm going to get my pillow and I'm going to hug my pillow and I'm going to say, Jesus, I just came to hug you. I just love you. I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just thank you for being you. I love you. I just want to take time out of my day and give you a hug. So I created a pillow to hug so that I could go give Jesus a hug. Now, Jesus is not in my pillow, and there's no power in my pillow. He's not in it. But it's a tangible way for me to physically walk away from my day and choose to pick up that pillow and say, this is for you. I want to hug you. I just want to love you. Well, I didn't expect anything back from that. But yesterday, I got kind of pressured and stressed and overwhelmed, and I just kept going. I just kept trying. I just kept trying to do the right thing, say the right thing, hang in there, get things done. I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. I forgot about the pillow. And I wasn't even going saying, I need, you know. I just kept pushing through the day. All of a sudden, I went upstairs for something, and I thought about the pillow. So I said, I know, I got to start cooking dinner, but I'm going to just go hug that pillow first. And I went in and I picked up that pillow thinking I'm just going to go, Jesus, I love you, you know, and I'm going to go cook dinner. I picked up that pillow, and when I said, Jesus, I love you, it was like he put his arms around me. And it was like peace, instant peace flooded in. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to stay in here for a while, you know. Dinner can wait 5 more minutes. And it was just like he came through that pillow and he just loved me back. And I just got so full of peace. It's like everything changed. My thoughts weren't frustrated. Nothing seemed hard anymore. I didn't go to get. I went to give what I got. So we're going to talk about hugging a pillow today. I brought 4 of our bed pillows. We are pillow people. These are the squishy ones over here. Yeah, those are the squishy ones. These 2, these are $100 pillows. They are firm but soft. You're going to have to hug these to find out in a little while. These pillows, when we first got these pillows, my daughter Jamie got one. And she said, I paid $100 for this pillow, but it is the best pillow in the world. Jackie went, still, $100. Still, I can't believe you pay $100 for a pillow. Jamie said, you don't know this pillow. I mean, this pillow is awesome. Still. Jackie just kept going, still. Well, I bought Jackie a pillow. We went out and bought 2 pillows, and we're still loving them years later. Then I went and bought Jackie a pillow. She called me yesterday and said, Ray wants a pillow for Christmas. He's in love with my pillow. So I love pillows. Pillows, that's a good night's sleep if you get the right pillow. We travel, they go with us. So I use my $100 pillow because it's just perfect. And then I put my squishy pillow and build kind of a mountain, you know, so I can feel them both. And it's perfect sleep. But now God has related hugging Jesus to hugging a pillow. So I'm like, wow, I just got to let people experience these pillows and hug Jesus today. So I brought them in. But you know, the Lord said, and we're going to look it up later and read the whole verse, but at the end of one verse, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We've applied that to money, but it's more blessed to give love than to receive. Because you really don't receive it if you don't give it. You really don't. Love gives. It does not take and it does not use. And Harvey for years has preached, God does not use people. God flows through people. He partners with people. He allows us to be in one with him with whatever he's doing. But he does not use us. Sometimes we use people. I need you to do this for me. Would you go and take care of that for me? Would you do this? You know, I could get this done if you do that for me. We use people to do things for us. God doesn't do that. Everything he does in and through you is more for you than it is for him. He may tell you, I want you to go next door and mow the neighbor's yard. And you're going, well, isn't he using me to mow their yard? No. He's allowing you to give to them so that you get blessed. It's for you. Now, he may bless them too, but God doesn't use you. He could mow the yard. He could send an angel to do it. He doesn't need you to do it. You need to do it. you need to do it. Yeah, he could just blow on that grass and mow it off perfectly, you know. But that's not the point. We all got, some of us got involved in this company called It Works. And God showed me a little vision one day, and it said, "It works when God works." I love the name of the company because it works when God works. And when God doesn't work, it's work. You just take that S and move it. It's work. Your job is work. Ministry is work when we're doing it, when we're pressured, when we're frustrated, when we're trying and trying. We don't believe in works, salvation. We get saved and then we work. Well, you weren't saved by works. Why are you getting into works now? See, it all flows when God works. But when we begin to do the works, asking Him to bless the works, then we're frustrated, we're tired, and we're overwhelmed. Whatever we're doing in life, if God is doing it, there's grace, there's peace, and there's power. But if we're doing it, it's work. It's hard. It's frustrating. It wears us out. And then we want to go back to God because we think we're doing what He told us to do. And we want to say, "God, I need wisdom. God, I need strength. God, I need power. God, I need grace. God, I need peace. God, I need love." We go back and we just want to plug in and get everything He can give us so we can get this done. But that's not the way God works. When God is working, we're just loving Him. We're at one with Him. And He's just flowing. He's flowing. We're letting Him. We're moving in agreement with Him. And it works. And it works peacefully. And it works easily. I'm not saying we don't physically doing anything, but when we're physically doing whatever He's doing, there's not all that frustration, stress, anger, impatience going on. When that's going on, we've gotten into works. We've put ourselves in works and we're trying to use God. He doesn't use people, but we try to use Him. We try to use Him to do His work. We got it all messed up. See, when I went and hugged that pillow, all of a sudden cooking dinner wasn't something that I had to go beg God for the strength and the grace, and I got to go out and start cooking, and I'm so tired, and my foot hurts, and my legs hurt, and I don't want to cook. Why isn't somebody helping me? You know, judgment, anger, all this coming in wasn't there anymore. All of a sudden, I'm just floating into the kitchen, singing praises, you know, "Woo-hoo, time to cook dinner, you know. What do you want to cook, God?" You know, no more problem. No more problem. Because when we're flowing with Him, it's all there. Because He is doing it. So we can't use God even to do God's work. Because it's work. And God's not working. Well, if marriage is more about holiness than happiness, and I've ordered 6 books for our leadership on sacred marriage. And our leadership, married or not, is going to be getting into that book together. And the man who wrote it says, "What if marriage is more about creating holiness in you than it is about how happy you are?" Well, no wonder there's so much conflict in marriage. No wonder he had you marry your opposite so they could keep hitting you where you need it, you know? Because it's more about God developing His character, His holiness, His love in you than it is about you being happy. The opposite of that is the selfishness that we live in. And I told Lynn this morning, I sure wish God could, you know, make somebody else the example of everything I teach instead of me. But the Lord says you have to live what you teach for it to be empowered. So I'll share how I lived the selfishness. And I got to a place where Harvey was doing tub glaze. Harvey was doing It Works. Harvey was doing ministry. And Harvey's a phone person. So when people call him, he'll just give them whatever time they need. He'll be on the phone for an hour and a half with one person. Well, he's got 3 more calls coming in. He has to return as soon as he hangs up. So sometimes he ends up on the phone from morning to bedtime, you know, and then he comes to bed and he says, "I just really need you." And I'm thinking, yeah, when? Between all these other people, do you need me? What do you need me for? Cook and clean? You know, I'm getting judgmental, critical, and selfish. Because I'm mad at him because he's not giving me enough time. I'm mad at him because he's not paying attention to me. He's out of balance. Judgment, criticism, selfishness, jealousy. All those things are going on in me because I'm not getting all the love I want from him. Well, love gives. It doesn't take. God flipped that on me this morning, and he said, if love gives, how should you have looked at the situation? I should have said, wow, my husband's got such a good heart. People are just draining the life and time out of him. How can I help him? What can I do to take some of that pressure off him? How can I help him to answer some of the people in a way that he won't offend them, but he could at least say, can I call you back after dinner so I could have an hour for dinner? You know, how could I help him instead of judge him and get mad at him for it? Because love gives. I wanted to take my part of Harvey Hampton, take my time from him, take what I need. Why isn't he meeting my need? Instead of seeing that he was in need and meeting his need. So God just showed me how selfish I was being about it. Instead of loving, I was just wanting to be loved. And sometimes we just treat God like that. We want to be loved. But do we want to give some love to God? So we just need to flip that around and decide we want to give God some love. You know the movie, What About Bob? One part in that movie. And I did watch it with a language filter. Without a language filter, it's like, you know, the guy had the Tourette syndrome, so he kept swearing. But we had a language filter, so we didn't get the swearing part. But if you didn't see it, Bob is a mental patient who's germophobic and all kinds of needy things in his life. And his psychiatrist goes on vacation. But Bob can't live without his psychiatrist, so he follows him on vacation. And he gets off the bus, and his shrink is saying, Bob, what are you doing here? And it's like Bob is going, I want, give me. And that scene just stuck out to me. That's what we do with God. We just always go to him, I need, I want, give me, God, give me, God. And you know what? He gives, and he meets our need, and he loves us. But do we ever think about how that leaves him? What if somebody does that in your life? Maybe somebody does do that in your life. Do you have somebody in your life that never just walks up and just says, I just love you. Thank you so much. I just love you. I want to give to you. There are some people that never do that. And they're usually the ones you give most to. You give and give and give and give. And all they do is take it. And you wonder, do they really love me? Do they, if I weren't giving them anything, would they even be around here again? Do they ever just say, thank you, I appreciate you so much? Just thank you, I appreciate you is nice. But actually coming up and going, I love you. I just love you. I just want to hug you because I love you so much. Wouldn't that be a nice reward? How do you feel toward that person in your life that just says, give me, I want, give me. I need. You're not giving me enough. I need more. How do you feel toward that person? You see their name on caller ID and go, I know what's going to happen when I pick this up. You see them at your door, you know, and you just go get the wallet because they're here for some more money. God wants to be loved. He wants to be loved, but he is not selfish. He doesn't live in a way of saying, why don't you love me? Why don't you hug me? Why don't you thank me? He'll never say that to you because he's not selfish. But maybe he weeps in his own bedroom. Maybe he weeps and says, maybe someday they'll just love me back. Maybe someday I'll be more important to them than whatever this is that occupies all their mind and time. Maybe someday. And then we knock on his door and say, God, I need. And he goes, I'll be right there, son. And he comes out and he meets our need. And then we just say, thanks. And we walk off. And he says, maybe someday he'll knock on my door and say, I just want to sit with you a while. I just want to hug you. I just want to be with you and tell you how much I love you. Maybe someday he'll just come for that and nothing else. Maybe someday. I just want to let this be that someday for us. I want this to be that someday. So I want you to go home and get a pillow. I want you to go home and get a pillow. It can be the same one you sleep on because it's just a pillow. But I want you, during your day, I want you to think about it, especially when you're in need. I want you just several times a day to say, you know what? I'm going to stop everything I'm doing, and I'm just going to go give Jesus that hug and grab that pillow and say, I just came to love you because I love you so much. You're the best part of my life. You're the best part of my day. It's just getting to be with you and hug you because you are so awesome. I love you so much. I love you. I don't care whether you feel hugged back or not. It doesn't matter. You didn't go to get anything. Just go to give him some love several times a day. You will thrill the heart of God. You will excite the heart of God, because hardly anyone does that. Hardly anyone does it. We push ourselves until we're needy, and then we go in to get. And he wants to give, so don't stop telling him when you need. Just between needs, go in and give some love. Make it a two-way street. Give him what he needs. Give him some love. You'll find him weeping in his room again, but he'll be weeping with, did you see that, Father? They just came to hug us. He'll be so excited. It works when God works. Everything in life works when God works. It flows. But when we're trying to work and use God to accomplish the work, stress, anger, pressure, criticism, selfishness, all sets in. It all sets in. So I'm going to show you where that verse is. Acts 20:35. I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Before Paul said this, he said, back in verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourself know, these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to those that were with me. I showed you all these things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Now, what Paul was talking about before he said it's more blessed to give than to receive, he was talking about income, money, finances. He said, I've not asked you to support me. I have worked with my hands to earn money and give it to those who are with me. I have learned to share. I have learned to give, because it's far more blessed to give than it is to receive. That is a lesson that we need to apply not only to the money, definitely to the money, because the love of the money is root of all evil. When we work hard and we earn money, we do not want to give it to the lazy guy who wouldn't go to work. That's my money. I worked for it. Why should I give it to him? He's not working for it. I went to college 4 years and got my degree, and I've worked hard and I've sacrificed and paid off my loans, and I'm earning this money. Why would I give it to him? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. You're going out and working and you're getting paid, but the more you hoard it for you, the more miserable you are. But when you give it away, it's exciting. It's fun. You get blessed of God. You cannot outgive God. And I love to try. It is so dare you to try to outgive God. It can't be done. The more you give, the more you'll get back. You cannot outgive God. It's impossible. God won't be outgiven. But that's just money. What about love? If you cannot outgive God, and you're going to go in there and just give him love several times a day, do you think he's going to let you love him more than he loves you? Can't happen. He's going to pour such love on you. Because you know what? That person that just comes over and says, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I might keep giving and giving and giving it to him. But that one that comes in and wants to spend time with me, I want to give them even more of who I am, of my attention. God is going to outgive you in relationship to the love you give him. Jack Kyle is a preacher in Indiana. He had a woman that kept coming and saying, I'm so miserable. I'm just so unhappy. I'm just lonely, and I don't have anything. And I'm just, poor me, poor me, poor me. And he said, well, I've got your solution. Go home and bake a pie and give it to your neighbor. Well, how's that going to make me feel better? He said, just do it. So she did. She had to buy the ingredients, spend the time, bake the pie, take it over and give it to the neighbor. And by the time she was done, she was filled with joy. She went back and says, it worked. I feel great. We feel great when we give, because giving is love. And we don't feel good when we're taking, because we get full of demons, selfishness, pride, comparisons, judgment, jealousy. Then we're miserable. But when you're giving, it's godly, and you get filled with God, and you feel great. You get blessed. On top of, you can't outgive God in any area. In work, in money, in love, in time, you cannot outgive God. Whatever you give, God will multiply that back to you. And He multiplies thankfulness. Whatever you're thankful for, truly thankful for, He multiplies that back into your life. So it's just fun to give. It's awesome to give. I would dare you to try to give away everything you have. We did it once, and now we have so much junk I don't know where to put it. Seriously, God said give it all away, and before long we had three times more than that piled up in our house. Yeah, like within a year. It's like, wow. He really took that to the ultimate test. Now, I'm not saying to go home and give everything you own away, because He didn't tell you to do that. You give what He tells you to give. Give what He tells you to give, and do it cheerfully. He loves a cheerful giver. Look at Luke 6:38. I'm going to throw this in with the "it works" again. You know, we've got this chart now of all the people that we got into "it works." And you look at it with, what is the most logical, smart thing I should do? Now I've got two new customers, or I've got a new distributor. Who should I give them to? So you're thinking about, we're thinking about giving, okay? We're thinking about giving. But then your mind goes into the human logic. If I give it to this person, and then I give them these customers, it will make me develop up to a ruby and I'll get paid on more. You know, you start thinking, money-wise, where's the place you should give these customers to? And your brain has it all figured out. And then God says, now, take the dollar sign off the chart and look at the names on the chart and ask me, who do I want to bless? And then He tells you the names of who to give it to. And it's not going to make you more money. It's just going to bless somebody He wants to bless. So you have to look at it without dollar signs in your mind at all. Just look at the names and say, this is a church. This is a ministry. Who does God want to bless? Who's the one in here that really needs to see the hand of God in their life? And He says, give to this person. Wow, God, that's way in a position where logically nobody's going to make any money off that. And He goes, yeah, but that person's going to know it's Me. It's going to bless them. You have to keep looking at things from God's eyes, because God isn't about money. God uses money, but He's not about money. So you have to keep bringing everything back to the heart of God, the heart of God. The product we're selling, even though we know what all the product can do, it's based on food. Plants and food. So it's all natural. It's all good. And we can tell you what every product can do in your body. And you can look at me and say, well, I have high blood pressure. And I go, oh, yeah, you need Fat Fighters and you need these bars. That will help your high. God says, no. Nobody knows what was going on inside their body but Me. You have to take every person and say, God, what do they need? Because when He tells you what they need, you say, well, logically, I want to tell you this. But God said, no, what you need is greens. Because when you do what God said, not only is it full of life, plant and food, God made plant and food with His life, and now He's going to quicken that life into the person and make it work. So So everything we do, not logic, going to God. Going to God. Everything we do. God, what do you want to do here? What does this person need here? Whatever your job is, I know you can apply this to your daily life and your job too. Don't go with logic. Don't go with dollar signs. Don't even go with what the people are saying to you. Check out of that and go into the Spirit and say, what do you have to say, God? What do you want to do? What does the person need here? How do you want to function? And give. Give what God wants you to give. Not what you think they need that you want to give. Give in unity of the flow of the Spirit. Whatever He says to give. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, God is saying whatever you give on this plane unto people, with the same measure people will give back to you. Maybe not the same person. Maybe I'm going to give something to Rick, and maybe Glenn's going to give me something. So the same measure you give with, the same measure you're going to receive with from men. But that doesn't include God pays the interest on it. He loves your giving so much, He says, and I'm going to give you even more. I'm going to, like with tithing, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you don't even have room to take it all in. Because God gets so excited when we give. And He gets more excited over giving love than He does over giving money. Way more excited over giving love. I'm talking about hugging a pillow. But when you take that even out to the streets and hug a person, as unto Jesus. Whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Hug a person as unto the Lord. I'm hugging this person because I love you, Jesus. This is for you because you're in this person. He gets the hug because He's in the person. He gets that hug too. He gets even more excited when you love Him by loving other people. Look at Isaiah 55. You probably all know Isaiah 55. It's a real popular one. I love Isaiah 55. I'm just going to start at 1 and read the whole thing. Oh, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. That even he that has no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Listen diligently unto me and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. I think everyone in this room has been given as a witness to the people. Every one of you has been given as a leader and a commander to people for God. Behold, you shall call a nation that does not know, and nations that knew not you shall run unto you because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I just want to stop there for a minute. When you find yourself judging someone else, when you find yourself angry with someone else, you find yourself frustrated and put out with them, you need to stop and you need to forgive them. You need to first come before the Lord and bring that person and forgive them so that you can confess your criticism and judgment and your anger and you can get clean. Because when verse 8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. When we are in any kind of sin, any kind of bad attitude, we can't get the mind of Christ. Our thinking is all messed up. Our ways are messed up. We have got to stop and get the mind of Christ. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not, but it waters the earth, and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Once we go in and get everything right with God, and we get His thoughts, we get His way, we get His plan, then it's going to be accomplished. God says, now, speak what I said speak. Give what I said give. Do what I said to do. And then I will bless that. And that word will accomplish. It will be empowered. The spirit realm will take it and empower it and make it accomplish what God sends it to do. But when we're trying to work so hard and do it all in the flesh, useless, useless, powerless. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. If you'll go hug your pillow several times a day, you will go forth with joy, and you will come out of that place in peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Do you know, if you will just take time to go hug Jesus, get your heart settled, come out in His joy, God is so excited. It's like all the trees start clapping their hands. Can you see it in heaven? All the trees are clapping those little leaf hands. Woo! Somebody hugged Jesus. Somebody got their heart right. Now they have the mind of the Lord. And just joy and peace and worship and singing. And just picture the trees of heaven clapping every time you do that. And instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar will come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We are working, laboring, stressing, trying, frustrated, overwhelmed, and all we're getting is briars and thorns, briars and thorns, picking our fingers on everything we touch, getting poked with every little bush that we run into, ensnared, entangled in briars and thorns. But when we come back out of that place with Jesus, He says, now the trees will grow. Now your labors will be blessed. Now they will flourish and come forth. Why are we spending ourselves for what does not profit? Why are we, what do we call it, turning our wheels and burning ourselves, spinning our wheels and just burning ourselves up. Work, 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 work. Talk, 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 talk. Try, 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 try. Oh God, give me strength so I can keep doing this. I don't want you to keep doing it. I just want you to come in and spend some time with me. Get your heart right. Get my thoughts. Go out in joy and peace. And then I'll bless. If I'm not blessed, then you're going to get nothing but briars and thorns with all your work. Man's work reap nothing but weeds. God's work will grow the big trees. And it shall be to the Lord for a name. If we're doing the work, we're building ourselves a name. But if God is doing it, all the glory is His. It's unto the Lord. It's because of the Lord. When you look at the person and it works, you look at them and say, wow, I could sell you $150 worth of product to meet every physical need you just told me, but God said you need this $33 worth, and it's enough because God will make it work. So, you know, why would you do that? I'm telling you, I want that $100 of product. No, you don't need it. I won't sell you that. Just spend $33. This is all you need. Why would you do that? I'm offering it because of God. God said He knows what you need, and I want to give you what you need. Wow. Must be God. When you say, I'm going to give somebody a car, who gives somebody a car? Why would you give me a car? God told me to. Wow. Now it's filling the name of the Lord, not you. When we do what's totally unreasonable because God said to do it, He in His Spirit touches them. He knows what everyone needs. And when we listen to Him and get His thoughts, give them what they need, that's the very thing that will say to them, wow, God cares about me. God is real. So we just don't know. So we got to stop spinning our wheels and working for briars and thorns. And all we really need to do is hug a pillow. All we really need to do is go hug our pillow. Go give Jesus a hug and just love Him and enjoy His presence and begin to think His thoughts and have His heart and let Him flow through your life again in peace and in joy. And then will come forth the fir tree and the myrtle tree. So I would like to invite you. There's more of you than there are pillows. We can get some squishy ones out of the office so that everybody can get a pillow. They all have brand new clean, not brand new, they all have freshly washed pillowcases on them. So nobody slept on them and snored on them yet. They're all very clean. But I invite you to share our pillows today during soaking time. If you want to lay down with one, if you just want to hug one in your lap, or if you just want to hug one for a few minutes and then go. But do it as unto the Lord and enjoy a pillow this morning and just tell Jesus, I want to hug you. Father God, I want to hug you. Holy Spirit, I want to hug you. Come and hug God this morning. Father, we just ask you to receive our love. We're not coming to ask you to do anything right now except know that we love you and receive a hug. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I'm always on.